Sagt mal, Bryce says, Rebbe would say, how do we know that Hashem deals with a person mida k'neged mida? It's based on a pasuk that says Hashem will punish with the Yidden with the precise measure of how they sin. The word used for measure is besasiya, meaning with a sa'ah. The pasuk teaches that regarding large averis, a sa'ah is a large measurement. How do we know that it's even for small averis it dealt with mida k'neged mida? Another pasuk says, ki chol, for every measure is dealt with an equal measure. How do we know that even if a person is not punished for each small averis that he does, these averis are collected together and eventually gets punished for all of them? The pasuk says, achas li achas limtzei cheshbon, adding one to another to determine the amount. The Bryce says we find this principle of Mida K'neged Mida with the Bisaita. She stood at the doorway to be noticed, so she then stood by the Kohen at the Shaar Nikner and is embarrassed. She put on a nice head covering to attract attention. The Kohen therefore removes her head covering. She beautified herself for him. Therefore, the first effect of the Meisaita is that her face changes color. She made up her eyes for him, so the waters cause her eyes to bulge. She braided her hair for him. The Kohen undoes her braids. She beckoned him with her finger. Therefore, her nails fall out. She put on a nice belt for him. Therefore, the Kohen uses a rope of palm fibers to tie her clothing. She stretched out her thigh for him, therefore her thigh collapses. She took him on her stomach, therefore her stomach swells up. She fed him fancy food, therefore her carbon is brought from barley, which is generally animal food. She gave him to drink wine in fancy cups, therefore she gets the water to drink in an earthenware keli. She acted in hiding, therefore Hashem, who secludes himself in heaven, turns his attention to her. Others say that she tried to hide her deed, therefore Hashem makes it known to all. In fact, once we have the pasuk of achas liachas, why we need the other pasuk that says ki chol? Mara says this pasuk teaches that Hashem punishes mida k'neged mida. Achas liachas just teaches that small ones are brought together to get punished in a big way, but Mida K'neged Mida is learned from Kichol. Once we know that Hashem deals with Mida K'neged Mida for smaller Averis, why do we need the first passage to discuss with larger Averis, the Sa'ah? But it says, needed for the idea of Chinun of our Papa, who says that the pasuk teaches that Hashem does not punish a nation until it's time for it to be completely sent away. In fact, tomorrow we find that Rava learns that Mitzrayim was punished 3 separate times during the times of Moshe, during the times of Paranavoi, Nechai, I'm sorry, and will again be punished for the times of Mashiach. So you see that it happens not, you don't just get punished when they're finally ready to get rid of it. You see here 3 separate times you're punished. If you're going to try to answer that the Mitzrayim of later times were not the same Mitzrayim as the times of Moshe, that's not a good answer, because the Braisa discusses the Isser for a Yid to marry a Mitzri before the third generation, and it says that even applied in the days of the Tanaim, which means the Mitzriim then were the same Mitzriim as in the times of Moshe. So Chinam Papa must have meant, Zok the Gemara, that Hashem waits to punish a king until he's ready to totally remove that king from power. Amemar learned that the statement of Chinam Papa was based on a different pasuk. Rav Hamnuna said Hashem waits to punish a person until his se'ah of averis is full. Chinam Papa dashed in the pasuk and told him to refer to a palace of praise, and said this refers to Moshe and David, who were that the palaces they built, the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, were never captured and used for the benefit of Goyim. We learn from a pasuk that the Beis HaMikdash sunk into the ground, and we're taught that the Mishkan was hidden when the Beis HaMikdash was built. Rav Chisda named Rav Avimi said that the Mishkan was actually hidden under the tunnels of the Heichal. A Braisa says, a Saita set her eyes on someone not fit for her, and not only does she not get what she wanted, she even loses what she had. She's also her husband. And to the other man. Any person who sets their eyes upon something that's not theirs, they don't get what they want, they even lose what they already have. We also find this by the snake who wanted Chava and ended up not getting her and lost what he already had. He lost his ability to be upright, etc. Hashem told the snake, I said you will be king over the animal kingdom, and now you will be cursed among all the animal kingdom. I said you will walk upright, and now you will slither on your belly. I said you will eat food like humans, and now you will only eat dust. The snake planned to kill other Mary Chava. Instead, there's a forever lasting hatred from the humans to the snakes. We find the same concept by Cain, Korach, Bilam, Doyeg, Achitoyfel, Gechazi, Avshalom, Adoniyo, Uziyo, and Haman. The Mishnah said, "Biyorech Hischila." How do we know that the thigh gets punished first? It's based on the pasuk that says, "Beseis Hashem esirei chech neifelas," and then v'yaspit neichzava. There's another pasuk that says, "Vitzavsa bitna v'nafli yirecha." Abaye said the kohen's curse goes first on the thigh and then on the stomach, and the curse is considered the beginning of the punishment. So in that way, the punishment of the thigh starts first. However, since the water first enters the stomach, it's the stomach that first feels the effects of the water. In fact, even in the kohen's curse, the pasuk says, "Latz bais beten v'la." Putting the stomach first. Versus that's written regarding the Kohen telling the woman the order in which the punishment will take a place. And he tells it to her in that way, and the way it actually happens, that people should not think that the waters are not punishing in the proper order. Zak the Mishnah, Shimshon followed his eyes, and therefore his eyes were gouged out by the Plishtim. Avshalom was extra proud of his hair, and therefore he was hanged by his hair. Also because he was Mazana with 10 of his father's Pilakshim, he had 10 spears stuck in them. Also because he stole 3 hearts, the hearts of his father, the heart of his father, the heart of Bezin, the hearts of Klal Yisrael, therefore he had 3 staffs stuck into him. The concept of Mida Keneged Mida applies to good as well. Miriam waited by Moshe when he was put into the river, therefore all the Yidden waited for her when she was a Mitzayra. Yosef was the greatest of the brothers, the second in the kingdom of Mitzrayim. He went ahead and buried his father, therefore he himself was buried by Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the greatest of the Yidden. Moshe buried Yosef, and therefore Hashem himself buried Moshe. In fact, we learn from a pasuk that Hashem himself buries all the tzaddikim. Zakhtum Rabbi says, Shimshon rebelled with his eyes. He chose a woman, he said, that was fitting in my eyes, and therefore he suffered by the pollution gouging out his eyes. A pasuk said that his marrying this woman was the will of Hashem. But he says, still, he also had the motive of following his eyes, and therefore he was punished for that. The Bryce says, Rabbi says, Shimshon's downfall began in Aza. He was Mazana with his Zayna there, and therefore he was punished in Aza. That's where the pollution captured him. In fact, an earlier pasuk says that he first married a woman in Tim. So that should be the beginning of his downfall. The Mara says, since he married the woman, it's not considered the beginning of his downfall. The pasuk says that Shimshon married a woman named Delilah. A bride says, Rebbe said she was rightfully called Delilah, which means to remove, because she removed his strength, she removed his heart, and she removed his righteous actions, causing the Shekhinah to leave from him. The pasuk says that after tricking Delilah with false sources of strength, Shimshon then told her the truth. And the pasuk says, Delilah knew that this time he was telling the truth. How did she know that? Rav Chanan in the name of Rav said, true words are recognizable. It explained why he never cut his hair or drank wine. Abaye said she knew that the tzaddik Shimshon would never say Hashem's name in vain, and he introduced the true reason by saying, I am a Nazir Lekim, so she knew he's not lying anymore. The pasuk says, Delilah pushed him to give the reason for his strength. Rav Yitzchak, the yeshiva Rami, said she would move away from him at the very end of Bia, which would make him suffer for not telling him. I'm sorry for him not telling her. Pasuk says the Malach told Shimshon's mother when she was pregnant with him not to drink wine or eat anything tamei. The Yitzchak of the yeshiva Rami said tamei things refer to the things that are usher for another to eat. The pasuk says that when Shimshon was dying of thirst, Hashem made a miracle and brought forth water from the jawbone of a donkey. Rabbi Yitzchak of the yeshiva Rami said Shimshon desired a tamei thing, a non-Jewish girl, so he was only saved by a tamei thing, a donkey. The pasuk says vatochel ruach Hashem lefame b'machane don bein tzora. So Rav Chama, the son of Rav Chanina, said the Ruach of Hashem refers to the prophecy of Yaakov when he said Yehi don nachash alei derech, which was now fulfilled by referring to Shimshon. Rav Yitzchak of the Yeshiva Rami said Lefam b'machane don teaches that when the Shechina went before Shimon like a bell to accompany him wherever he went. The Rashi said Bein Tzoroah u'Bein Eshtoel are the names of two large mountains that Shimshon uprooted and ground together. The Malach told Shimshon's mother he will begin Yachel to save the Yidden from the hands of the Plishtim. Rav Chama, the son of Rav Chanina, said this refers to the oath of Avimelech that his children will never start up with the Eden, which was clearly desecrated, was Huchal, and that's why Shimshon was allowed to fight them and not be bound by Avram's oath not to start up with the Plishtim. The pasuk says that the boy grew up and Hashem blessed him. Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Rav, said Hashem blessed him by giving him abundant Zera, which allowed him to desire a woman of the Plishtim, which then allowed him to save the Eden.